What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Does it mean to follow Christ? One of the problems that we have today is that many think that when they become a Christian, they simply add Jesus to their lives. In other words, for the most part, they keep their lives just as it was before, and that Jesus is just added to the mix. Oh, they change a few things, perhaps. It's still just the same old thing. They live the way they used to. It's their will, it's their way. They listen to Christian radio. Most of you didn't think I knew what that meant. They speak the Christian language. They hang out with Christian friends. But is that what Jesus had in mind for his followers? This is not what the Lord Jesus Christ calls Christianity. Today we're going to look into the text of Scripture that is one of the most challenging passages in the entire Bible. It's a call and a command for all the followers of Christ to love him and his people more than ourselves. It's a call and a command to examine ourselves and the treasures of our heart to see just how we line up according to the Word of God. This passage leaves little ground for self-deception. And oh, how easily Christians are easily deceived when it comes to the trap, the three enemies of our faith, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus is very clear with his terms to be a disciple. Disciple means a learner, a follower. Our Lord Jesus, he had a key command that he mentioned several times in the Gospels. In Matthew 10:38, Mark 8:34-38, Luke 14:27, even John 12:25, he says the same very important command to those who follow him. He wanted to make it very clear so that there would be no mistake. Now, my prayer is that we all understand the seriousness of this issue. Jesus is not pleased with casual or lukewarm Christians like the Laodicean church we find in the book of Revelation, where he says, "You are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm." And Jesus says, in that passage, "I'd rather spit you or vomit you of my mouth because you're neither hot or cold, but you're lukewarm." They lost their first love in Christ. There are consequences for believers. Even in John 15, the Lord warns us of consequences of being barren and fruitless. And in doing so, the branches are burned. Their testimony is lost. burned to ashes. 1 Corinthians 3, it speaks of believers to work in the abundance of God's grace in their life, to build a house of precious stones and gold and silver ore, wood, hay, and stubble, and at the judgment day of believers tested by fire, the quality of each man's work for eternity will last the value of your life. To become a Christian is to march under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny self and a life eternal in obedience of God's word, his will, and the power of the Spirit of God. So I pray you and I that God will enable us to deny self and obey the command of the Lord Jesus as we read this passage. I also pray that God will continue by his mercy and grace that we might obey him until we see Jesus face to face. And that could be any time. Isn't that true? At the hospital, it looked most earnestly that he was going to go home any moment. All his family and his relatives were there. And I said to them, I don't know a man as brave as Brother Moses. Of his testimony and his love for God. He was ready. The day we must not be deceived and to think that our earthly life of eternal rewards, if we are going to be living lives of our own agenda, our own will, and we do not deny ourselves and submit to Christ, even the songs we sang. Did you listen to those words? There were songs of praise, but there were songs of commitment to Christ and to God. They were worshipful songs, but they were songs related to his followers and being his disciples. Is your life all about Christ? Or is it about you? So please, hear the word of God. Jesus in the gospel says, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Luke chapter 9, verse 23-27. And he said unto them all, it wasn't just the 12, it wasn't the 70, it was all inclusive. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. I like Dr. Luke. He is making sure that nothing is overlooked as a physician. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or forfeit himself or be cast away? New King James says, well, what will it gain a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in the Father's, and in the holy angels. But I tell you a truth, and there will be some standing here which shall not taste death till they shall see the kingdom of God the Father. Enable us by grace to die of self and submit in Christ's lordship. Oh God, I pray, open up our eyes today to the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus gives us three pieces of the puzzle of discipleship in verse 23. One, to deny self. Two, to die to self. Three, to follow me. As believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't get this, if this is not embedded in our hearts, if this is not a commitment unto life to follow Christ, then you might as well forget the Great Commission. Forget about the understanding and the commitment of Romans 6, 7, and 8. Forget about John 15, abiding in the vine. Forget about that. Because we've missed it. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the beginning of this chapter, he gives the authority to the 12. The power of casting out demons, healing the sick, preaching the gospel. Then he goes to the 70, the same thing. They come back with great news. Then he feeds the 5,000. Then he says, who do the men say that I am? Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaims him, thou art the Son of God, the Messiah. Then he turns unto them and says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus Christ is not winning a popularity contest. He's saying if you really want to follow me, that you deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. So I want to explain as clearly as I can, what does it mean just of self-denial? What does Jesus mean when he makes this statement, deny self? Deny self means willing to renounce any so-called rights to plan or choose that will prevent the lordship of every area of your life. Now, when you're saved, when you hear the gospel that Christ has died for you, and he did it because out of his love, you make that decision by faith. Salvation is a free gift. Discipleship will cost you your life. But it's by God's grace. And his grace alone. You can't live the Christian life. You can't walk with Jesus one step without the grace and the love of God. Don't think for one moment that you can do that. You were in the hospital when I called you. By God's grace, he healed you. You were at the point of whether or not you were going to take that one step into eternity. And I prayed on the phone and God healed you. That's by the grace of God. Hey, That's why you're here today. That's why all of you are here today. Don't think for one moment that God has called you to be His disciple, that you can do it on your own strength. It's by God's grace and by the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Better watch out. I'm going to start preaching. Christ has in mind for His people and His followers to forsake anything that stands in the way of embracing Jesus, your Savior. He demands full allegiance. And why not? He gave His life for you and I. Should He not command less? So we need to forsake our possessions, our pride, our power, our favor of men and human glory. Go to my house, most of it's junk anyway. Yes, I know we should have a garage sale. So we must deny our natural bent toward earthly treasures and strive to make Jesus Christ our treasure. Have you not heard the scripture? Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be. Now, Jesus is not concerned about having your toys and your things, but do they own you? Do they own you? Can you not have fun? Sure, you can have fun. Jesus wants us to enjoy life because why? The Bible says Jesus Christ is our life. He wants us to deny self-reliance, forsaking your self-righteousness. Why? Because the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags and dirt. All of you got clean clothes. Excuse me, some of you. And when you come on the week of the church picnic, you're allowed to come in your shorts and all these things. You understand that, Grant? Dave? You can come in your skivvies. I take that back. So God wants us to totally cling to the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. You come to Him by faith and trust in God's grace because of His finished work on the cross. Not on your own works. Even John Calvin states, self-denial is the sum of the Christian faith. The Lord gave us all and denied all of His rights for us to be saved. How much more should we deny ourselves for Him? You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Mark Porter, who was an elder for many years here. He's, as you know, he has Parkinson's disease, and which is the reason why he cannot come and join us. I made a promise to his wife before he died. She died, and she bent over as I was going to pray for him. And she said, "Ron, make me a promise." I said, "Yes, Carol." She said, "I want you to take care of Mark." So I see him every Friday. We share the Word of God and encourage one another. He made an interesting statement. He said, all the years that we've served as elders, he says, we we focus on Ephesians 5 of the role of husband and wives. He says, because he and Carol were responsible for the marriage ministry when they were here. He said, we did pretty good on encouraging wives to be submissive to their husbands. Amen, sisters. You have a great ministry here. He said, if I had to do it all over again, he would hit it harder on men learning to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I looked at him and said, why would you do that? He said, because God gives men the major responsibility. Men love their wives as Christ loved the church, according to the scriptures, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. And you know the problems we have today in our church. I want to share with you a very personal thing in regards to that. A couple of years back, we go to the Yosemite Bible Conference, Lorene and I and our family for almost 30 years. But a couple of years ago, we had such a passion of serving other people that night and day serving others, and other people kept on dropping in for counseling and so forth. At night, Lorene was washing, cleaning the dishes and so forth, and came up to her, and she just broke down and cried. And I went over, and I helped her with the dishes, and she just cried more. And for husbands, you know, you never approach your wife crying, and you never ask her why you're crying, right? Because she would say, if you love me, you know why I'm crying. So I just came by and start fiddling with the dishes and drying them, and temptation really got to me. So I said, what did I do wrong? And she just said, all I've been doing is cooking and cleaning and washing dishes for the whole time here. And then I remembered I promised her we were going to do three things that she wanted to do. And I said, oh, well, we've got time, and we'll do this tomorrow. We'll start on these three things you wanted to do. And she said, it's too late. We're leaving tomorrow. And I realized for 7 days, all she was doing is cooking, cleaning, and washing dishes and being made. I failed as a husband. I failed in loving my wife as Christ loved the church. And the Spirit of God really struck me that I had failed. And of course, I said I was sorry. I want to try to make it up. I realized it wasn't the activities that really hurt her. The thing that hurt her so much is that I neglected her. And I realized what I needed to do is change. And focus on her needs. And so I made a covenant with God. Help me to do better. And even go to another different conference. So she could be ministered to. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Denying your own needs. The second thing, Jesus commands followers is not only denying yourself, but taking up your cross daily and following him. The cross means to carry out the death sentence. The criminal was to carry out the actual cross where he would be hung. And Jesus tells us ones to be welcome of the death of self-denial of the disciple. The disciple was to do this daily. Now remember, he didn't ask us to carry his cross. Amen? He carried his cross by himself. He hung on that cross because he loved you and I. In that dark hour, God the Father turned his back on his own son. And all of our sins came upon the Savior. This is why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You and I put Jesus on that cross. When he was on that cross, he was thinking of you and I. The Bible says he had 12,000 legions of angels beckoning to take him off that cross. And it only took two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of what would have happened if God let them to destroy the earth, all the whole human race. I'm glad Jesus said on that cross, Father, forgive them for they know what they do. Praise God that we have a Savior and Redeemer. Oh, I hope you pray every day, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you, Jesus, for raising God, a Savior, for my soul. Take up daily your cross and bear the afflictions of this life, knowing that God has designed them for Christian growth and maturity. Do you like afflictions? Do you like to bear your cross? I don't see any volunteers. I wonder why. We repel against that, don't we? That's why you need the grace of God. When we say we need to bear up the afflictions for the glory of God, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Now, granted, I don't know very many people that say, God, just bring it on. Just bring it on, like a Sherman tank, just bring it on. I did that 30 years ago. That's a dangerous prayer. Lord, teach me to be humble. Lord, I want to enter into the sufferings of Christ. 3 weeks later, God allowed me to have an accident, an auto accident. Injured 3 discs. Went through 10 years of surgery. That was not an easy road. God taught me a lot of things about how wicked a sinner I really am. But then he showed me his grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul responds, therefore I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh God, God, I feel like dirt. Raise me up, Lord, because I can't go any farther. I don't have the strength anymore, Lord. you've got to pick me up. You know something? God did, and he's not finished with me yet. Amen. Carry your cross daily. Do you realize when God calls us to carry his cross, he gives us the grace to do it. So don't be afraid. Life is a school. God's a teacher. If you've got enough faith, the size of a mustard seed, it's a little bit of seed. Got to do the rest. When we were in China, we wanted to visit a missionary. And over the phone, he gave me all these directions. And he said, just follow the signs. They're written in Chinese. I said, I don't read Chinese. He said, well, I'll send a brother to help you. So we got out of the YMCA and we waited, and there was a brother that came out of the cab. His arm was in a sling. He had a huge black eye and a lip that was cut and sutured. He had a great big smile. He introduced himself, and Marie and I got into the car. And he greeted us and told us about the ministry that we're headed to and what a joy and what God was doing. And I couldn't help but ask him, I said, what happened to you? And he said, I just got out of prison. We were in the interior preaching the gospel and giving out tracts, and the communists found out, and the others escaped, and I stayed behind so they could escape, and they tortured me and beat me almost to unbearable things, wanting me to deny Christ and become a communist. And the key captain said, deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Become a communist. Make this statement public and we'll let you go, or else forfeit your life. They said that over and over as they were beating me. I said, what was your response? He said, you can kill the body, but not the soul. I will never deny Jesus Christ, my Savior. You can kill the body, but not the soul. I will never deny Jesus Christ, my Savior. I had never seen such bravery in all my life. I said, good. Praise God, you escape. I guess you'll never go back. He said, no. He says, as soon as my ribs heal in 3 weeks, I'll go back with the rest of the team. It is a privilege to serve Jesus. Praise God. You can kill the body, but not the soul. Finally, Jesus says, follow me. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What does it mean to follow Christ? It means that we'll walk with him as he walked. We'll love him as he loved. We speak as he spoke. That all the power and the love and grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we follow him, we need to trust him wholly in obedience to his word. I hope you're claiming Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you have marked that in your Bible? Yeah? Okay, good. Now the rest of you, you need to do that and memorize that by heart. I hope you're going to do that. Ask God to work that in the table of your life. Jesus describes here God's gift of love and grace. Now, why should we give up ourselves? The Lord Jesus explains that very vividly. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Then he touches on this about material things. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The Lord is very clear on this. And it's interesting. You can love things, but things don't love you. Not my will, but thy will be done. I don't know how many have heard about J.R. Letourneau. He was a multimillionaire. He kept 10% of his annual income and gave the Lord 90%. When I was a soldier in Vietnam, we heard of a tribe of the Mountain Yards. The CMN missionaries had gone in and shared the gospel with the chief, who refused to bow down to idols until missionaries came to him and shared the gospel. He became a Christian, and all 500 of his tribe received the Lord. They were helping the Allies during the war, and the Viet Cong had threatened to annihilate them. Missionaries had sent a message, and then in the United States had got to the Secretary of War and asked to help them and to relocate them. R.J. Letourneau had heard about this and went to the Secretary of War and asked him for help, that he would be willing to pay all the expenses if the Secretary of War could help them. By God's grace, that was the green light. And the Secretary of War gave General Westmoreland the green light to send the 101st Airborne Brigade into the jungles to fight off the Viet Cong and airlift all 500 members of that tribe to safety. Now, the American public never heard about this. Only the missionaries and our little group that we were in, we were tied in with the navigators at the time, the prayer meeting, attached to Thompson Air Force Base. And it was a work of miracle. They did this by night and airlifted the whole tribe to safety. They built an area of homes, schools, even a church, and a Bible school. We heard all this because we heard the chief's testimony in a church in Saigon. He even wrote a book called The Bamboo Cross. That chief gave the glory to God in following Christ instead of idols. R.J. Letourneau gave his life, not only denying self, but following the Lord. A few years ago, a well-known figurehead is called Steve Jobs, CEO of Apple Computer, changed the world in the computer industry and actually the world. But he leaned his philosophy of life in Buddha and the New Age teachings. Here's a man who gained the whole world. Unless he changed his philosophy of life. He was a good businessman, a promoter, and a vendor. But in regards to eternal issues, he was a poor investor. Verse 25. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And Jesus is pressing home to ask us, where is your treasure? Will you cling away to your own treasure? Or is Christ treasure of your own heart? That's the issue here. You love things more than you do Jesus. He is asking us in verse 26, because Christ is our treasure, are we not ashamed of eternal blessings and rewards? That's what's waiting for us. And it counts right here. It says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the glory of the angels. In essence, the human heart should not be ashamed of whatever treasures he has. Jesus is telling us that he needs to be the real treasure of our heart. So, we must choose. And we need to choose wisely, don't we? That choice needs to be done every day. But verse 26 is a warning, but it also is a blessing. Now, what is the blessing? If we choose Christ to be our treasure, when he comes, we need not be ashamed. Because he is then our treasure. If you read the entire book of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John ends with this statement, Jesus Christ is our eternal life. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. If you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a follower of him, and you're a disciple. The question is what kind of disciple do you want to believe? What kind of disciple do you want to become? And the Lord challenges with his terms. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. You can't do it in your own strength. Ask God by God's grace to be able to do it in the power of the Spirit of God. That's his plan for every Christian. And in doing so, it unlocks the key for all the blessings that God wants to give you. In Christ's name, amen. Father in heaven, we want to pray. Thank you very much for this key, important call and command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't want to do this in our own flesh. We want to do it by your grace and your love. We want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We want to be a disciple of Christ. But we can't do it in our own strength, Lord. We want to do it in the righteousness of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray to this day, as long as we live, until we see you in glory. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you. Help us to be your disciple. To deny self and to take up our cross daily and follow you for the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.